Good morning. As you have noticed, our choir will begin this morning with the singing of I Will Give Thanks.
Greetings in the name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, November 23rd, 2025 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois.
Welcome as we begin our service now with the singing of our opening hymn, which is apropos for the last Sunday of the church year, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying.
Participating in the production of this broadcast are Brian and Pam Featon and Robert Clem. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 516, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying, 516 in the Lutheran Service Book. John Beaver is sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in loving memory of Kathy Beaver's birthday on November 26th and their November 27th wedding anniversary.
Thank you.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea,
though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling.
There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns.
The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth.
He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you reign among us by the preaching of your cross. Forgive your people their offenses, that we, being governed by your bountiful goodness, may enter at last into your eternal paradise. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Malachi, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord. But you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping in his charge or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. And those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. What is the third commandment?
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it.
The epistle reading from Colossians, the 1st chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. And there followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, I'll ask if there's any children who'd like to come forward for the children's message, and to please do so at this time.
Hey, Will.
All right, so here we go. The psalm of the day, it talks about the Lord being our fortress, and we will not fear. But you know what? I'm afraid of some things. I do get scared, and I don't know what. I'll bet there are things that make you afraid. How about the dark? It's all dark in your bedroom, and you know, you open your eyes and you're like, oh, I don't see anything. And then you got to go to the bathroom and you get up and it's dark. And what are you afraid of? You're afraid you're going to walk into the door, right? Yeah. You're like, and you walk through your bedroom in the dark like this. So you feel the door and the door handle, and so you don't mash your toes on the corner of your bed. You ever mashed your toes on the corner of the bed? Oh, that hurts. That hurts. I don't like to do it. I'm afraid of doing that. I don't want to do that. And so yeah, there's things that make us afraid. I've got adult things that make me afraid. And cars breaking down, houses breaking. You know, like, well, not the house breaking, but the pipes in the house breaking and things needing repaired and whatnot. And I'm sure there's kid things that make you afraid, like the basement. You know, no, there's not dark in the basement and there's no pinging and popping. And well, I tell you what, you ought to be in this church at night when it's really dark here. I'm telling you. There are some noises and there are some things, and you're just like, ooh, I don't know about that. But anyway, the psalmist is talking about things that make him afraid. And, you know, there are different things other than, like, well, you ever been afraid of a thunderstorm? No? Good. I am glad to hear that. Because sometimes that lightning and thunder and the big winds that come along with it, they make all kinds of noises. But the psalmist says, in times of fear, in times of worry and concern, the psalmist says, the Lord is our refuge and strength. Therefore, we will not fear. We won't be afraid. And, you know, you see all these folks out here, and they've got worries and fears, and they've got their concerns about whatever it is going on in their life. And the Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Because I'm with you. I'm with you in all things, so that you won't be afraid. I am here to help you in trouble. And then the scripture says, the Lord of hosts, in other words, the God of the armies is with us, and the God of Jacob is our fortress. So in all of our fears, in all of the things that scare us, whether they're kid fears or whether they're adult fears, in all of those fears, we know that the Lord walks with us. He's with us in all things. He is the one carrying us, watching over us, taking care of us. He is the one who will work all things to our good. And so we trust the Lord. We trust God that He will work things out for us, and He will keep us safe and sound. And in the end, He will bring us to our heavenly home. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would continue to be with us always, that you would make us to be not afraid of this world or the things in this world, and that we would continue to trust in you, that you are our God and that you are with us all the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you return to your seats and we continue with the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 728, How Firm a Foundation, hymn 728 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
The sermon text this morning is today's gospel reading, especially remembering the mocking of Jesus. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we end the church year, right? The last Sunday of the church year. We end the church year with the outcome of Jesus' pilgrimage here on earth. The outcome of Jesus' pilgrimage here on earth is the cross. And this sets us up for next Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent. Because, of course, there is an overlap. You know, the last Sundays of the church year deal with the last things and the second coming of Jesus. And the very beginning of the church year, Advent, also deals with those same things. Jesus, we know, will be nailed to the cross. The crowds around him will heap scorn upon him. They will mock him. You're the king. You're the Messiah. If you're the Messiah, save yourself. If you're the king of the Jews, take yourself down from that cross. If you are who you say you are, take yourself down. Of course, we all know he could have done it, but if he would have done it, then he would not have fulfilled the mission that he was sent here to do. We would not be redeemed. We would not be saved. In the crucifixion, the religious and the secular persons ultimately will come to know who Jesus is. Many of the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they will harden their heart. They will reject Jesus. And, you know, I mean, think about the hard heart. Think about Judas for a minute. Just think about Judas. He takes those 30 pieces of silver. He goes back to the priests in the temple. And he says, I have betrayed innocent blood. The reply to that, what's that to us? That's your problem. Those who were supposed to shepherd Israel, to show them the forgiveness of their sins in Christ Jesus our Lord, those ones just shut down Judas. They offered no forgiveness, and they threw everything back on him. What hard hearts they had. The believing thief who has promised the eternal kingdom, you know, he's next to Jesus, one thief heaping insults on him, one thief saying, don't you know who this is? He didn't do anything. We're being punished. He didn't do anything. And we're being punished justly, but he is innocent. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And I'm fascinated by that. Maybe the last prophecy of Jesus, I'd have to check that out. Because what does he say? He says, today you will be with me in paradise. Right, there's that comma right there. Jesus said to him, today, comma? No, Jesus said to him, comma, today. You will be with me in paradise. Now, crucifixion was a slow death, and it was meant for people to suffer through over the course of many days. But Jesus already knew hanging on the cross that this thief would die that day. Jesus knowing that his legs would be broken, the thief's legs would be broken, and he wouldn't languish on the cross for days, but he would die that day. And Jesus said, today, you will be with me in paradise. I've always wondered about that. Was that the last prophecy that Jesus gave? And then there's the centurion who saw the way Jesus died. Right? A secular pagan. But what did he say when he saw it? Truly, this man was the Son of God. And he watched how Jesus died. Look upon Jesus and see what the Father has done for us. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. How can that not bring to your mind the waters of holy baptism? Because what does God do in baptism? What does he do? He washes you clean from your sin. He takes you from the devil's kingdom. And he brings you into the kingdom of his Son whom he loves. He brings you into his own kingdom. Baptismal waters, which land us square in the kingdom of Him who was crucified for us. And who is it that is crucified for us? Who is it that hangs on the cross? And what has He done for us? He has won for us redemption. That is the forgiveness of our sins. And this is the basis of His authority. Who is it that dies on the cross? The Son of God. As we stand on the cusp of Advent, we know that the coming one, the coming Messiah, is very God of very God, light of light, God of God. He is the Word through whom and for whom all things were created, who holds all things together. He is the head of the church, the firstborn of the dead, in whom all the fullness of God is pleased to dwell. It is this true God and true man who gives His life for us on the cross, who through His blood made peace with humanity and the Father. And what does this do? This lets you know how valuable you are. The price that cost your salvation is a mighty price, but God was willing to pay it. And the Son of God voluntarily came into this world to live on your behalf and to die on your behalf. This is what is going on in the crucifixion of Jesus. This is what we see as we look upon Jesus dying in our place. And in this light, we see the whole of Jesus' crucifixion. We see that it is a call to repentance. It is a call to recognize sin in our lives and to weep not for Jesus, but weep for ourselves as we come face to face with the impending judgment. Now, please understand, judgment is going to come one way or another. And either it will fall upon Jesus, the Messiah, or it will fall upon you, yourself. So if you reject Jesus, then you are going to bear the weight of the punishment for sin in your own flesh. If you trust Jesus for your salvation, He is the one who will bear the weight and the punishment of sin in your place. There aren't any other options. That's it. Through faith in Jesus, the judgment for sin that would fall upon us is taken up by the very Son of God Himself. The Son of God is crucified in your place. He died in your place. He paid the penalty for sin in your place. He was placed in a tomb, and on the third day He rose again, showing the Father's approval for the work that Jesus had done, a work in which He was well pleased. And in your baptism, you are connected to this very same Jesus. You are connected to this Son of God in such a way that His death is your death. His resurrection then becomes your resurrection. It is as St. Paul writes to the Romans, "Do you not know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" We know that in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we believe that we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives to God. So you too must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now we are the redeemed, and we are to live like those who are alive in Christ Jesus. Paul points this out to us when he says that we too might walk in newness of life, that you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And then he says, let not sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members, your flesh, your body to sin for unrighteousness. And there is the issue, isn't it? Letting sin reign within us. And there are so many temptations in this world today. So many temptations to let this world, let this sin reign within us. Now, I can say that in my life, never plotted to rob a bank. Right? That hasn't happened. No, life's not over. But never up to this point have I plotted to rob a bank. I don't seek opportunities to spread gossip and rumors. As a matter of fact, I have learned that I don't have to seek those out. They're right there. They're in front of me. Do it all the time and forget that I'm doing it. Don't even notice that I'm doing it. But isn't that what happens to all of us? We spread gossip. We spread rumors. We're guilty without even trying. Then there's the lack of Christian self-discipline. And that is a problem. For lack of Christian self-discipline leads to things like a lack of time management, which turns and develops into a lack of daily devotions. And that in its own turn leads to not praying for family and friends and congregations as I should, all of which shows my own innate self-centeredness. How many of us are there too, letting sin reign in our bodies? That we are those who disobey parents. We are those who think that are disobeying the Ten Commandments, not having a sexually decent and pure life. We'll be okay. It's fine. It'll fine. I'll be fine. No problem. All the while we're denying what God has told us to do and how we should live our lives. How we should live in this world. There's so much. It's like fasting, right? You take some time to fast. And you build up that self-discipline. And it might start with, laying aside the snacking. You know, have your meal in the morning and say, I'm not going to snack from breakfast time to lunchtime. No more, Snickers bars and candy bars and cookies and all of that. And you know what? You might fail at that. It's not sinful. It's sin by having an Oreo, okay? But as you try to fast, and as you do these things, you develop a bit of self-discipline. A self-discipline that says when your hand is reaching out for it, to pull it back and say, no, I reign and am in control of my body, not my body in control of me. And start that way. But, we backslide, we fall, we have all of these issues. We have sin, which is a curving in on ourselves. And doesn't our culture breathe out self-gratification, self-satisfaction? I mean, we live in a culture full of immediate gratification. We don't have to hitch up the wagon to the horses to run into town. We just hop into our cars and go back to the grocery store and get that thing we've forgotten. We are apt to go to our phone. How many of you can just be quiet and sit and do nothing, right? How many of you can actually do that without turning on the TV, without reading a book, without having your phone in your hand, scrolling through your phone. How many of us can delay that gratification? How many of us can do that? I don't do it well. I know I don't do it well at all. How many of us go to the library to get a book, to do our homework, to study at school? No, we just jump on the laptop. And I say laptop because we don't even have a desktop anymore. Or we go to our iPad, we get right on the internet, and we get all these things. And look, I firmly believe that advertising works. If advertising didn't work, you know, companies wouldn't do it. So, you know, 40 years of being told as a culture, have it your way. 40 years of saying you deserve a break today. 40 years of advertising that caters to your wants and your needs. It's going to change us as a culture to say we want that immediate gratification. We're impatient at red lights. We can't even stand in line at McDonald's without getting irritated and agitated that things aren't going fast enough for us. And heaven forbid, like it was at the school fundraiser the other day, that I actually had to sit down and wait for somebody to bring me a tray of hamburgers. Oh my gosh. What's taking so long? Where are they at? Why is that kitchen so backed up? I'm a sinful human being. No, I'm not robbing banks, but by golly, I am a sinner. I am a poor, miserable sinner. I am self-absorbed. I am concerned about myself. I'm concerned about me and what I want. And that's really what lies at the root of sin. Sin is being curved inward on oneself. It's all about me. And it's not about caring about the person who's next to me or caring about the people who are around me. A culture that conspires against us to create a lack of patience, a lack of self-discipline, a lack of delayed gratification, all of which spills over into our spiritual lives as we thank God that we're not like that bozo over there. When in fact, upon closer inspection, we're actually looking in the mirror at that bozo over there. All of which is our old Adam heaping insults on Jesus. Save yourself. Come down from that tree. Fix me right away. Do it, Jesus. Do it. You can do it. If you do it, you can prove to me that you are God and you who are you say you are. Now what do we do? Now we repent of our sins. We seek forgiveness for our sins of thoughts, words, and deeds that are contrary to the will of God. Now we bend our knees, we bow our heads, and standing in the shadow of the cross, we cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And what does Jesus say? He says, Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they are doing. In that forgiveness, we take our stand. Forgive me, for I don't know what I'm doing. And we say with the thief on the cross, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And as we do that, let us rejoice in the words of forgiveness and life spoken by Jesus to that thief. Truly, truly, I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds with the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for our prayers. Loving Heavenly Father, from before the foundations of the world were laid, you had planned our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins through the sacrifice of your beloved Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We humbly ask that your Holy Spirit would work within us so that we would ever have repentant hearts and we would live to your glory, loving our neighbors as ourselves. Bring us at last to your heavenly throne room that we may celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, many are your servants who cry out to you in distress. We ask you to hear the petitions of those who are undergoing medical treatments of any sort. Respond to those who are crying out to you for their sick spouses. Listen to their cries and attend to them according to your almighty will. Bless those women who are with child and those families who are raising small children. Give wisdom to the parents of older children so that they would be a blessing to them as their children navigate the landscape of adult life. Support those who struggle with depression and illness of the emotions and be their constant support in all things. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, grant that our congregation be ever faithful to your word in all truth, so that we ever stand ready to proclaim your truth in the community in which you have placed us. Bless our school so that it would ever be a nursery of our congregation. And may you send students to Zion whose families seek a refuge from the world and a place for their children to become more and more familiar with the words of Christ. Help us through our day school to proclaim faith in Christ to all within its walls. Lord, in your mercy. As we prepare to enter the Advent and Christmas seasons, bless our Sunday school leaders and our congregational members who prepare for Christmas programs and celebrations this coming month. Grant unto the planners that their preparations go well and their desire to proclaim your word would come to fruition. All this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You've been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the Internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Please rise. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them. Read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 739, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, hymn 739 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Please remember this coming Wednesday evening, 6:30 p.m. for Thanksgiving Eve services. Also, there is a Christmas program practice this afternoon. It's on the church calendar. I think 1:30 to 2:30 for practice, and then 2:30 to 3 o'clock stringing popcorn again and decorating Christmas trees. There is no youth group this afternoon. Yes.
Higher Things 2026. So that email is from 5 to 6:15 on Wednesday.
Thank you. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.